Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed you're joining us for part two and the conclusion of a great interview relevant to the day and time in which we live, titled End Time Surprises. Praise God. Dr. Richard Ruling is our guest, and this is the conclusion of a great interview we've been having with him, discussing his new book, but also talking about what we see happening right now in the world. Folks, this is not stuff. You cannot make this stuff up. Let me put it like that. What God has preordained and has been telling his people about for centuries is happening right now before our very eyes. You cannot deny it. Let's jump back into the conclusion of this great interview with Dr. Richard Ruley.
Yeah, well, that brings us to the time of impending judgment, though, right?
Yes, yes. And, okay, let's go there because we might run out of time. I don't know. But there was one more thing I was going to share from declaring the end from the beginning, and that was the fact that the Israelites did poorly, and God allowed Babylon to come and discipline them and take them.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah said, if you stay in the city or if you fight, you'll die. But if you go out and fall to the Chaldeans, you'll be spared. Mm-hmm. And Daniel and his friends trusted God. They went out, surrendered, you know, and were taken to Babylon. But I believe there are a lot of patriots today that are willing to fight, but they don't understand the tanks and machine guns on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be trouble for patriots. I did write an article some years back that said if we fight, we'll die in the coming Civil War. And I had about 15,000 views on that article.
Amen.
That was posted. Anyway, yeah. So hopefully our witness can get around. But that's the kind of the end part of how that was three ways God declares the end from the beginning. First, living in the cities with Cain, the murderer. Abraham sacrificing the ram, which will include the sacrificing of Islam, because the Medes and Persians are now Iraq and Iran, and not this is to spare Israel. But then the Babylon thing about not fighting, going with God and trusting what He's going to do for us. Okay, so now we come to a time of judgment impending. And I believe that it is indeed with Jerusalem, because that was his, has the imagery of God's people in it. The truth is today, though, that the Jerusalem is not God's people. Okay, the point one Messianic rabbi told me that 90% of the people in Israel today have no interest in their spiritual heritage.
That's right. Just
there for free land. Yeah. The UN gave it to them. And my point is that it wasn't the UN's land to give. It's God's land. And he's going to give it to Abraham's seed. And we think Jews. Okay. Well, they better have a spiritual heritage and appreciation for God. And those that don't are going to get driven out or taken, I think. And secondly, Paul says in Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's seed and
yep,
heirs according
right.
to the promise. Now, this is good news for us. It takes faith for us to believe the good news, like in Noah's day. It sounds crazy what I'm going to say, but the new covenant promise in the Old Testament is linked to the people that go to that land, the land of promise. The promised land, God is going to marry the covenant-keeping people to the covenant land.
Okay? Yeah.
And when you can't buy or sell or hide, and they will find you, torture you maybe even, to find out where your friends are, I don't want to be here. I want to be with God. He promises to gather us. The clearest place that that your listeners in the audience can know is three dozen chapters. 3 times 12 is 36 in Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. and two dozen verses in that chapter, verse 24. So
Amen.
Ezekiel 36, verse 24 says, I'll take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all nations, whether you've been scattered, and bring you into your own land. And I'll sprinkle clean water, you'll be clean, give you a new heart, put my spirit in you, cause you to walk in my statutes and judgments, and you'll dwell in the land that I gave your fathers.
Amen.
I will be your God, etc. So that's to me, that's huge. And it's just four verses of three of Ezekiel 36, that's three dozen, and verse 24 to 28. So how do we get there? Christ's kingdom, historically, if he declares the end from the beginning, the last 12 chapters of Genesis and the first 12 chapters of Exodus are about getting from the promised land into Egypt and then getting them out of Egypt when things turned bad. Okay, they went in a time of famine, and pioneers came to America in a time of famine for the word of God. The papacy had banned the Bible, and you even burned heretics at the stake who didn't comply with Pope, etc. Well, it must have been bad, or they would not have been so willing to get in little boats and risk their lives at high seas and come to America, where they risked life or death with Indians and with starvation, etc. People, you know, lots of people died, you know, and it wasn't easy. And God declares the end, but he's made a match for America as being like Egypt, in a sense, mm-hmm. when pioneers came here. And then more people came that didn't know Joseph, pharaohs mm-hmm. came, and laws have changed, and they're controlling everything. Freedoms are going. So it's like Egypt. Egypt enslaved Israel through their babies in the river. We've enslaved most people in alcohol, tobacco, drugs, even medical care is a form of bondage. If you have to go every month and see a doctor and get a blood test and get a prescription, and that prescription could kill you or make you sick, it's more common than people realize. And so bottom line, we're repeating that history. We've thrown 63 million babies in the trash, where Egypt probably threw a few hundred or thousand, you know, in the river.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect parallel if we can see it from scripture. And God took Israel to Sinai, where he said, if you keep my covenant, you'll be a kingdom. And they said, we'll do it. Well, God got an ignorant bride, because 40 days later they worshiped a calf. Okay.
Yeah.
And this must not happen to Christ. And I'm seeing provision in the wedding parables that it not. And we can be the king's servants in those wedding parables, because the king makes a wedding and sends his servants. He sends his servants. He sends them to bid people to the wedding, is the idea.
Yeah.
And if we are God's servants, we should be bidding people to a wedding and at a time of judgment. The wedding is the good news in contrast to the bad news of impending judgment. But we need to know the bad news in order to be willing to make some changes.
Amen. So all this parallels the coming kingdom, the time of judgment, and all that parallels the wedding parables, right?
Yes, it does. Amen. And because also in Jeremiah 3:14, God said, return to me, I'm married to you. I wondered at first, where did they get married? It was in the covenant, okay? The covenant relationship, and weddings are solemn times where you solemnly promise to keep this, you know, and so on. All of that I think in Bible times, it was life or death, where they made a sacrifice, and they walked between the sacrifice as if to say, may I be like this sacrifice, torn apart, if I don't keep my part of the bargain. And when it came to Abraham went to sleep. He didn't mm-hmm. go between the pieces, but God, as a burning lamp, went between the sacrifice. And God alone has the obligation to provide the land, and I'm confident he can do it again.
Yeah, amen.
And he's about ready to drive out the Jews that think it's just for them.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. So how do we actually get to the day of the Lord then?
Okay, good question. I am seeing, first of all, coming back to the thing about the kingdom, The disciples were disappointed that it didn't turn out as they expected.
Right.
And in Acts 1, verse 6, as they're walking up the mountain the last time, and maybe they didn't know he was going to leave yet, but they said, "Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time?" And his reply was, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons." Okay. And the point is partly, I've got to explain this, that they had failed him worse than we know. Okay. Because they had, as I mentioned before, they wanted to be on the right and left of God's kingdom. And he said, "Can you drink of the cup?" And they said, "Yeah, we can." Well, the last night he gives them the cup. And they accepted, drank of it. But a couple hours later, when he asked them to, he didn't just ask them, he told them, "Watch and pray, lest you enter not in the kingdom." So it was a command from him to do it, but they couldn't do it. They went to sleep on him. And I believe that that really, if they had prayed like he did, they could have been strengthened as he was to withstand what's coming. And when the Jews came with the Romans, they could have said, "Hey, we're going to trial with you. We're with you." Okay. And when the Jews accused Christ of going to tear down the temple and build it again in 3 days, are you crazy? They could have said, "No, he's talking about his body. Come out Sunday morning. You'll see." If they had done that, there would have been witnesses to be with them, and the Jews could not have lied, and Pentecost could have been the whole nation, I believe. Instead of 120 in an upper room, the whole nation could have been on their knees or on their face and said, "We've done it wrong. We've blown it. Please forgive us." And the Holy Spirit could have endorsed the whole nation at that point, and the world would be so much better today than the 120 that had to start it all.
Amen. Yeah, could you imagine that? If they would have said something like that, and then, even if you had, 1,000 people gathered around the tomb, say, almost sunrise.
Well, it could have and should have, and I believe the kingdom would have been established then. In other words, the kingdom that they wanted in Acts 1:6 didn't happen. He says, "Not for you to know." He didn't rake him over the coals and said, "Well, you failed me too bad." But basically, reading between the lines, I'm speculating a little bit, but I believe it could have been, should have been, and we can be there for it because we're getting a chance. Because okay, when he said it's not for you to know the times or season, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:1, "Of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you, for you know perfectly." Now, hello. And this brings us to the phrase you asked, for the day of the Lord. You ask, what is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, for when they're saying peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. Now, I want you to see, and the audience to see, how every one of those phrases fit Egypt. They knew what was up, the Israelites did. And the day of the Lord in Egypt's time was called night of the Lord. God said, "This is night of the Lord," in Exodus 12, verse 42. And as day follows night, the end time is impending on us, and we are seeing how that it's like Egypt, okay? We are enslaved like Egypt was. Alcohol, tobacco, drugs, etc., and medical care, and losing our freedoms, and throwing babies in the river or trash, 63 million abortions. We're worse than Egypt, more deserving of judgment than Egypt. So it's there. And that's the day of the Lord, then, is the impending end time period of judgment. Okay. And different people, it begins with the house of God because we know first what's up and we should be watching and ready. And if we aren't, we may be like foolish virgins. A lot of people that I think say, "Well, sounds pretty far-fetched. I'll wait and see." Well, wait and see is a foolish virgin response. It takes no faith to wait and see. But and without faith, it's impossible to please God in Hebrews 11:6.
Something
So,
that caught my attention, with concerning the day of the Lord and all that. We've talked before about earthquakes happening in various places.
yes,
Recently was Taiwan, and just a couple of days ago at the time of this
right,
recording.
good.
But talk about various places. Just a few minutes. I don't know even know if you know about this yet. Just a few minutes before we started this interview, there was a 4.2 earthquake in New Jersey.
Oh, my, oh, my, pretty close
Talk
to you.
about various places, right? New Jersey?
Yeah,
New
next door.
Jersey?
Next door. Yeah. The Garden State. Okay. Well, amazing. Thank you for that. Yeah. And that's not the end of it, of course. The idea is, I thought last spring things were going to start, and I was wrong. And I came to realize that our calendar today, the Catholic Gregorian calendar, is not what God used in the Bible. In Exodus 12:2, the word Kodesh, meaning thin crescent of the moon, he said, "This is the beginning of the month, the first month of the year to you." And it was the month of Passover. In the 10th day, they took a lamb and set it aside as a sacrifice. So the Gregorian calendar begins in January, ends in December, but the biblical year is still going right now because, in other words, from 23, it started with Passover, and the Jewish Passover has not come yet. They're going to keep it near after if the new moon is around the 10th of April, and 2 weeks later, around the 25th, 24th, will be the Passover time. Okay. And I believe that at that time we may see Muslims attacking Jerusalem, just like Titus began his siege in 70 AD. It was Passover time, calculated by Titus, because more Jews would be there then. He would get more Jews when he conquered it. Okay, and many of them died from starvation. Mothers ate their own babies in that time. Okay, and I believe we're not far away from famine either. Okay, and I can tell you how. Let me the next topic on my thing is how May
Well,
19 may be a, okay, go ahead.
before we get to that, I got a question for you. You know,
All right.
we've talked about this. We talked about the earthquakes and happening, you know,
All right.
in various places, but in just a couple days at the time of this recording is the eclipse.
Yeah.
And that starts down in the Bible Belt area, crosses America and exits up in the Northeast into the liberal areas of the Northeast. How does all that tie in as a sign?
I appreciate that. That's Joel 2, verse 31. The sun shall, speaking of the day of the Lord, it says, the sun shall be darkened and the moon turned to blood before the day of the Lord. Okay, and the word for before in Hebrew, it is panim, means face or facing the day of the Lord. In other words, it's not something that happens years earlier and so on. Actually, there were signs in 2015, a whole cluster of them, because there were actually eclipses on the Jewish feast days for
I remember
two
that.
of them, and then the lunar eclipse on the equinox. Okay, I mean the solar eclipse on the equinox, followed by again a blood moon on Passover 2 weeks later. And so those signs, I believe, all pointed as a 7-year warning to the day of the Lord, starting in 23 when Hamas in the fall took attacked Israel, and it's been escalating. And I believe we will see the fullness of the escalation by the time we get to Passover in a couple 3 weeks from now.
Amen.
So
Amen.
that's how I
Yep.
think. You know, I could be
Amen.
wrong,
Yep.
but I'd like to, I want to
So
believe that.
all these signs are coinciding up to what you're talking about, that you think we'll see something on May 19th, correct?
Yes. Okay. Now, Joel 2, verse 1 and 2 says, "The day of the Lord is the day of darkness." And if you Google dark day, I've done it. Okay. And May 19, 1780. Was a dark day, unexplainably dark. Cows came in from the field, chickens went to roost, people needed a lamp in the middle of the day. It wasn't just an eclipse that got a little dark and then went away in 5 or 10 minutes.
Right.
And unexplainably. And Christians took it as a sign that Christ was coming. But 200 years later, Mount St. Helens erupted and
Yeah.
put ash into the sky. And overnight, wind carried that ash to darken three northwestern states. On the anniversary date, May 19, 1980, was a dark day also. This time it was more explainable. At least we can explain the volcano. We can't under explain fully how God picked those dates So far advanced perfectly. I mean, to me, it's not just an odd coincidence. God did it, in my opinion.
Yeah,
He
amen.
marked that night. And this year, May 19, has unique timing. The Catholic calendar, the Gregorian, has no relationship between new moon and new month. The new moon can come at the beginning, the middle, or the end. Well, this month, I mean, in May coming up, the new moon will be on the 10th, the eve of the 10th, okay? So the evening and the morning are the first day of the month, the new moon day of May 10, and count 10 days, May 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 is the 10th day. That's the day that they selected a sacrifice in Egypt, okay? And it was as the days of Noah. When Noah entered the ark, it was the 10th day. I
Yeah.
think, I said, no man knows the day or hour, but as the days of Noah. Okay, and this year it is, okay, May 19. I think God was marking it for this year. And I would say, if you're in the city and you've got a job, take your vacation for a week or so on May 19 and be out of get out of the city. I don't know whether I've heard Jonathan Hollerman, Deputy Director of Homeland Security, say he's amazed that we haven't had an EMP attack to knock out our power grid. A high altitude explosion over the Midwest, maybe over Kansas City or Lincoln, Nebraska, could knock out transformers coast to coast. And
Yeah.
truckers could not pump fuel to their trucks. They can't bring food to the cities. People will starve. His estimate, as studying this topic of survival, said 90% will die in the first year
Yeah.
before they can make the transformers. So I
Yep.
believe big things are coming, and an earthquake will be coming also. When Noah entered the ark, a week later, the flood came. And
Yeah.
a week from May 19, I think we're going to see the earthquake, my opinion. Okay. And the earthquake initiates when God, when the Lord roars from Jerusalem, the Muslims are going to flee. But that earthquake shakes heavens and earth. And I believe that we will see San Andreas Fault. That was a movie also, 2015. I think a sign for what's coming to Southern California or California in general. Bad stuff
Amen.
in California. So, anyway.
Amen.
That's it in a nutshell, and I don't know
Amen.
how much time we got. How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. But why can't God hit us and shake us up and get our attention every time we do something that is, we'll just say wrong?
Okay, good question. And a personal story that I have, when my oldest son was about 5 years old. I remarked one morning to my wife, she was fixing breakfast on a cold floor with bare feet, and I said, "Honey, you ought to have slippers on your feet." A minute later, my son comes running with mama's slippers. Now, I could have said, "Get mama's slippers or I'm going to beat you," but that would give me no joy. But to see him doing that out of his own heart, not even being asked to do it, to me, he got it. That's the gospel. It's be a service, do what you can, God is like that, I believe. He it would give him no joy to he could make us do whatever he wanted, but that's God is love, and he wants a love relationship. We it's so good to serve God from love, appreciation for what he did with Christ, and the Christ bore our sins, and we love him. We want to do everything we can for him, and it's not about getting beaten. It's learn how we often suffer because of what we did anyway. Why he doesn't have to punish us. I just earlier this week, I went to a court for a guy who 17 years ago had a DUI, and now they're wanting to put him in prison because he got stopped for a traffic ticket or something. I don't know. But he's been living well. He fixes my computer, helps me sometimes. And to send that guy to jail when there's a victimless crime is stupid, dumb. I hate our laws in this country trying to trap you and get you and get money from you. He doesn't need to go to jail, at this point. So my point is, God is like that too. We're punished by what we do anyway. We don't have to get his punishment that way.
Amen. Amen. So, Dr. Williams, we'll get ready to wrap up. What's the name of your book again that you're publishing?
Well, I'm thinking that I would like to call it The End Time Book of Surprises: How We Can Be
Okay.
Part of the Kingdom Where Christ's Disciples Failed. I think most
Amen.
people would like to know more about those topics, and we've kind of covered them overall in the table of contents. I've been looking at it while we've been talking.
Amen. Amen. So, how can someone grab a copy of your book, End Time Surprises?
Go to Amazon and order it. It won't be available till maybe April 10 or 11. You can see some other things. And by the way, I'm sending you a copy of my book, The Destruction of Jerusalem. It's got good stuff in it, and it is for sale on Amazon for but I'm giving you six copies. The first six people get it free. If Bob doesn't send you the book, then order it on Amazon if you like, or my new book, The End Time Book of Surprise. My name is on Amazon, author name is Ruling, Ruhling, spelled with an H, Richard Ruling. And thank you, Robert. God bless you for taking the time with this interview, and may your people around the
Oh, not
world.
a problem.
We want to be God's servants, inviting people to a wedding and being there for him.
Amen. Amen. I'll put links to all this in the show notes below. Praise
Okay.
God. Folks, as we've been saying, the end times are here. I mean, we are living in the days that the prophets of old desired to see. Just like Jesus said, he said, we are blessed because our eyes do see and our ears do hear these things. What does that mean? Basically, what are we going to do with the information we see, the information we hear, and the information we understand? We need to share this information far and wide. Amen. You can start by dropping down the show notes right now, reaching out to Dr. Ruling, interview him on your podcast. Amen. And be sure to order his book, The End Time Book of Secret Surprises, not Secrets, End Time Book of Surprises. And he's got other books on Amazon as well. Amen. You definitely need to do this. It's not a long book. It's not an expensive book. And for the first 10, he's graciously offered to support our ministry. The first 10 people that contact me with an offering, we'll send it out to you absolutely free of charge. I'll pay the postage on it, praise God, because we want to get this book and get this information distributed far and wide. Amen. So just click down the links and show notes below, and we'll get this out to you. Dr. Rilling, as usual, it has been a blessing to have you back on with us today, brother, sharing all about your latest book and what we see happening in the news virtually every single day and how it all relates to the end times. I appreciate your time today.
I appreciate you, and let's talk again after the Muslims t attack the city. If they don't, give me a little time to think about
Amen. Amen.
it.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Dr. Richard Ruley, myself, it's Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.